Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In support of AA's singleness of purpose, we respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics. And when discussing our problems, we cannot confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 5 10-minute speakers, and then it will be open to the floor and closed at 9 o'clock. Can we please have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Thank you. Our 5 speakers tonight will be Mike, Andy, Alison, Andy, and David.
I'm Mike and I'm an alcoholic. What a privilege to be asked tonight. You know, Wayne asked me and I've just not felt like sharing for a long time. I get my words muddled up. Nouns are a real problem for me, and I've not wanted to share. I've not wanted to share from the floor because I feel like an idiot. And when Wayne asked me to come up here and share, it was just, yeah, absolutely, I've got to get up there. The reason I've got to get up here, because I've got the power to save lives. And I love that. I love that line. It's out of our book, the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and we have the power to save lives. If you're in here tonight, I came in here and I was absolutely terrified of myself, you know. I knew that I couldn't stop drinking, you know, with all the attempts, all the help that I was getting, you know, going into detox places and relaxation places and, you know, making wicker pots and things like this, you know, it's all trying to calm me down. Punching pillows was the worst one, you know, they had me punching pillows because that would get the aggression out of me. And, the only thing was, is I'd come out of there and I'd just want to punch someone. So the first person that come down the road got a smack in the head, you know. It just made me more angry, you know. And it didn't seem there was anything that was going to fix me. I knew full well it's the alcohol. I knew it was nothing else. I knew by then it was the alcohol. I'd been in plenty of detox centers, etc. And I was fine while I was in them. But I knew, in the back of my mind, I knew, when I get out of here, I'm going to drink again. I know I am. It's just how it goes. It's every time I go into one of these places. You know, I want to come out. I want to be a man. I want to look after my daughter. I want to be, you know, a decent partner. And I was useless at it. I just couldn't do it, you know, because alcohol came first, you know, whatever was going on. Alcohol come first and I ruined it. I ruined my dad's wedding, you know. It was just hell to be around. The worst thing was, I used to say to people, it's all right for you. You can bugger off. I've got to live with me. You know, it was horrible. Such a horrible feeling having to be with me all the time. you know, because my head would start thinking, and, you know, Mark's looking at me, so why is he looking at me? There must be a reason. He doesn't like me, you know, and all this sort of stuff would go off in my head. And, I just couldn't handle, anything. All I could handle was taking a drink, and then I didn't care what you thought of me then. I'm the dog's doodahs. You know, I can go out, I can have a great time. And, it was a great time. I had an absolutely fantastic time. The only trouble was that it was starting to take over, and it wasn't a fantastic time anymore. You know, I was getting involved with social services coming round, you know, why are you asleep on the sofa and your daughter's out in the, you know, yard playing and what have you? Who's looking after your kids while you're drunk like that? Oh, I promise. It won't happen again. It won't happen again. And the next day I'd be drunk again. And I'd say, I could not find a solution. AA was suggested to me and I came along to AA. I've got a few experiences of that, you know. One of my experiences was I was told that I couldn't join their group because I wasn't a Catholic. Another one, I couldn't join their group because, who is it, Steve? So I couldn't join the, couldn't join this one group because I took drugs, and they told me, you know, come on in, mate, don't worry about it, come on in, you're welcome. You're not really welcome, can you please leave? Welcome, mate. But one of them asked me to leave because some of them knew me as, you know, a drug addict. I used to take drugs as well. So I was told to leave that meeting. I needed to go to NA or something like that. I can't use. So I drink instead, and it's getting me in worse trouble, and I'm just drinking my life away, ruining my family's life. It's just got right out of control. I really need help. And so I come along to AA, and it didn't seem any use to me. And, you know, really, it was the word God. That's what put me off. I kept hearing this word God, and I was singing, I don't believe in God or anything like that, so how can it help me? You know, and I wished that I could believe in God so I could do these bloody steps, you know. I wanted something. Anyway, I ended up in Plymouth and another treatment centre, and eight months, I think it was. 8 months, and really, I mean, I call them crap, you know, these treatment centres and that, but the truth was I really enjoyed it. Evening, sir. All right. The thing was I really loved it. I really loved being in these treatment centres because while I was in there, I knew I was safe. I didn't crave anything, you know. I didn't enjoy, you know, all the bloody therapy and all that sort of stuff, you know. But I enjoyed the fact that while I was in there, I didn't think about a drink. You're late. What is it with you Bournemouth lot? Don't you want to get well? Jesus. Gavin, Sean. So I really didn't think there was anything that was going to help me. You know, I kept coming back to AA, and it wasn't doing anything for me. And if you're like me, I got up and I walked out. I went to another AA meeting. I sat there. I listened to them. I thought, what a load of rubbish. I got up and I left. And that was like all the time. Every time I went to AA, I can't get a handle on this God. And the only people I relate to in here is the angry ones, the ones that are banging and going on the desk, and it's bloody hard work. And you know, I was told not to do the steps, you know, wait for a year so you can look for a good sponsor. Anyway, going back to, I came down here, and it was all right. I met people like Andy. Bouncing in. I'm all right. I got no problems with me. 3.5 months to live. But he's bouncing around like, look at me, Jack the Lad, you know. It was absolutely great. We had some really good laughs, you know. But then it came to the time of leaving. And oh my God, now I'm petrified. I know I'm going to drink again. It's going to happen. In the back of my mind, I know I'm going to drink. So I ended up coming here. The place that I was told not to go, the place I was told not to go was here. And when I just came here because I was told not to. They do step where they do this, and you're not allowed to share until step 5, etc., etc. So I came here, and I came here and I got a sponsor. I did exactly what these people in the room were doing. They were saying, get yourself a sponsor and you will get well. You will lose that. I mean, I came here and John said it. I mean, he's only a panty waste, you know, and he could recover, you know. he said that he lost the, what was the words? Lost the obsession. He had lost the obsession to drink, and I thought, that's what it is. It's an obsession I've got, and I can't get over it. And not only is he telling me that the obsession can be lost by working the steps, everyone else was saying it as well, so I thought I'd give it a go. And anybody that's in here, I mean, I couldn't go 3 days. 3 days was my maximum, and I had to have a drink, you know. And my sponsor's always saying, you know, this is long-lasting. It can happen very, very quickly, and it is long-lasting. Now, you know, to hear them words as a failure in life, I thought, nah, it's not going to happen. I recovered very, very quickly. Within a couple of weeks, I was smiling, going down coffee with the lads, and I got a sharp now. That's twice I've had the red light. But I can guarantee any one of you that's in here wondering what the hell's going on, if you do what I did, come to meetings and sit there and listen and walk out, you are going to get worse. I promise you that you will get worse. I got worse to the point where I asked for a sponsor, and within 2 weeks I was smiling, you know, and my life, I mean, Wayne said, talk about your illness. I mean, I've got an illness that is secondary to my alcoholism. I've got progressive MS, you know, I'm spastic. It's going to get worse. But I'm a happy spastic, you know. I've got good things in my life, you know. I've got a good sponsor. When I've got those tears crying, and I am feeling like I just can't go on. My sponsor's on the end of the phone, and he's just cheering me on. You're doing all right, Mike. So anyone new coming in here, I promise you and I guarantee you, if you want a wonderful life, get yourself a sponsor. And I've been wondering how long before they drag me off. Thank you.
I want to use the seat then. My name's Andy and I'm an alcoholic. I was expecting a big long Herc to come out and just grab him and I can pull him off. He's, you should have heard him when he used to be able to speak. You know, he says he can't speak, you know. I've known him for a long time. He's such a lovely guy, you know. He is exactly what he says he is. No, but from one person who thinks he can't speak to another person who couldn't speak a year ago. And I'm going to talk about this home group. It's such a pivotal part of my life. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. A year ago today, on the 7th of April last year, I had a massive stroke. And I was paralyzed on the right hand side and I lost all speech. So from one who says he can't speak too well to me is who's just learning how to speak again. But I'm an alcoholic. My message to you guys is get yourself a good home group. A home group that talks about the 12 steps in sponsorship. Because I've known Mike for nearly 20 years now. And it says in the text, we make lifelong friends. And most of my friends in here, I've known them, you know, all this time. There are loads of them that have been around for 20 odd years. And it's been an absolutely amazing journey. If you think that you're just going to hang around in a meeting and it's going to rub off, it won't. You need to get down to action. This is an action program. When I came in, I didn't care about God. I didn't care about, I would have prayed to anything, because I just wanted to get sober. I was in treatment center with Mike, both of them. We went through both of them together and we had some great times in there. But when that day came, when I left, I had all the fear that Mike said about, am I going to drink again? You know, but another great friend of mine, Michael, he's not here tonight. He's in Marbella, lucky sod. But he spoke with a conviction. He said, I've recovered. And I said, how'd you do that? He said, I've been to Road to Recovery Group. And I came along on a Tuesday night and you guys blew me away by your leadership. Because each and every one of you were leaders. You were people that were leading by your actions and leading by example. So that night you won my trust. You know, it says an alcoholic armed with the facts can win another alcoholic's trust in a matter of minutes or hours. And you were my trust that night. And that very first night, I got Wayne as a sponsor. And I thank you for that, Wayne. And from that night, I was... Mike said I went into treatment, all bouncy and everything. I suppose I did. It's bravado. That's all it was. But they said, don't go out in the sunlight. I went out in the sunlight. I passed out. They had to carry back in. I didn't take notice of anybody. But that night when I got a sponsor, I really felt like something was going to happen. Something was going to change in me. And it did. I worked through the steps with Wayne and I had this change of thought and attitude. But what I learned was it wasn't... The home group was more important than me. You know, what I did for the home group benefited me more than anything else, because doing service within your home group is such a privilege and a pleasure to do. I mean, first of all, I stood downstairs, down the back here, picking up dog ends. You know, it was good because I never had no cigarettes to smoke, so I used to break a dog ends and put it in my pocket. And then I went on to the tea position. I knew everybody's cup of tea, what they wanted. You know, I did every bit of service, like my life depended upon it. You know, I was really privileged and grateful for having the service. I learned how to belong, you know, as a true sense of belonging in my home group and a fellowship. It grew up around me, you know. I made the best friends ever, and the point is you all had done the same things as I was doing. I was given suggestions to do, and I worked them to the best of my ability. And, you know, I'd recovered. But you guys were all doing the same thing as me, so there was no confusion. That's why, for me, this home group is the best in the world, because it got me sober. Before this, I had tried everything. I'd been in a treatment centers. I sought out for counselors, doctors with prescriptions. I tried everything. And this group, I didn't even know what this meeting was. But because Mike said to me, I've recovered. That word, the single word recovered, it meant a lot to me. You know, I didn't want to ever, like when you get a broken leg, you know, it recovers. I didn't want to be recovering for the rest of my life. And when Mike said I've recovered from this illness, I just wanted it. I wanted to come in and I wanted to do the best I could. If you knew, you know, you've struck gold tonight. Absolutely struck gold. It's a home group that, for me, I'm not going to say it proved itself, because it proved itself from day one. The structure in this group is second to none. You know, people think that we're hardcore. No, we're not. We're just alcoholics who've recovered. You know, we do the same things on a daily basis. I remember after having the stroke, I couldn't speak at all. I could say two words. One was, yeah, and the second word was an F word. That was it. You know, and, you know, this home group got together. You know, God bless you. I'm so grateful for you guys. You got together and you did raffles, you sold t-shirts, mugs to help me and my family out. And for that, I'll be eternally grateful. Andy came round to my house with a few of the lads and they give me the first lot of money and to help pay bills and stuff like that, which all I could do was cry, because the emotional state of having a stroke is you become really emotional, and all I could do was cry because I couldn't say much. And then the thing that changed my life around was when Wayne came around to my house and he said, I think it's time for you to get back into the structure, because it was about 6 weeks. I just started learning how to speak again. And he said, come back you know, you need the structure around you. So I came back and I sat at the back and people came up and they were talking to me and I wanted to well up, but I'm a man, so I didn't know. But the structure probably is not only saved my life again, thanks John, but it's helped my recovery the second time in learning how to speak again and learning how to get back to work again. The structure, the emotional state of me was I can't rely on emotions. You know, I have to put structure in my life. When all else fails, put the structure in. And each day, I never once thought of a drink, you know, but I put the structure in and I started to get well. And I improved. Now I'm back full time as a tattooist now. So I thank this all grew from the bottom of my heart. It really stood by me and allowed me to recuperate and recover yet again. It's twice in my life he helped me to recover, and both times I'm incredibly grateful for. So if you're new or you're struggling, this is a home group second to none. If you want what we have to offer, remember, you have to do as we've done. You know, you have to go to any lengths. And with that, I thank you again. Happy anniversary anyway. It's 23 years of this home group being together. An amazing time. I'm looking forward to a bit grub tomorrow night and a bit of karaoke. I'll leave it there. Thanks.
I'm Alison. I'm an alcoholic.
Alison.
And thanks for asking me to share, Wayne. I mean, it's such a privilege, you know, to share, you know, at this group on the anniversary meeting. You know, it's quite overwhelming. I mean, I can speak. I just forget what I want to say, but, you know, there we go. You know, I can identify with both, you know, Mike and Andy. I didn't go to a treatment center. I didn't get counseling. But I was desperate. You know, when I started drinking in my early teens, I loved it, but never had any control over it. I did things that I didn't want to do. Did things that I was ashamed of. And nothing that happened would ever stop me picking up the next drink. And whenever I picked up the next drink, I always drank to oblivion. Cause I couldn't live life on life's terms. If I wasn't drinking, I was restless, irritable and discontent, from a very early age. And that just got progressively worse. Over the years, I drank more, I felt worse. So I drank more and felt worse. And 30 years of drinking alcoholically, I ended up at the jumping off point. It says in the big book, it describes it. I knew loneliness such as few do. I thought that nobody else in the world could possibly feel as bad as I did. I was suicidal. Like Mike said, I hated myself and I didn't know what to do about it. The thought of not drinking was terrifying. You know, having to, you know, face life on life's terms, I just could not imagine, you know, being able to do that. But I knew that I needed something. And I turned up here out of sheer desperation, you know, just hoping that there might be an answer. And when I walked through that door on a Friday night, I felt like I'd come home. You know, for the first time in my life, I was listening. I was hearing people talking. They were talking my language. For the first time in my life, I didn't have to put on an act. I didn't have to pretend that I was something I wasn't. I didn't have to pretend that everything was all right. They knew everything wasn't all right, you know? They knew that I was in a mess. You don't turn up here when everything's not too bad. You know, you turn up here as a last resort. And I just wanted what these people had. They were comfortable. They were chatting to each other. They were laughing. They had something that I didn't have and I'd never had and I couldn't imagine having. But they told me I could. They told me that I didn't never have to feel that way again. Never had to feel that bad. So I was told to just sit down, listen to the shares and, you know, listen for the similarities, not the differences, because everybody's story's different. But, you know, I could identify with people's drinking, the way they thought, the way they drank, and just the way they felt about alcohol, that obsession and that, you know, that just need to drink, that normal people don't have. They told me that they got a sponsor. They got somebody who worked through the 12 steps, somebody that could guide them through the 12 steps. And as a result of going through the 12 steps, they'd had a spiritual awakening. Now, I mean, it all sounds a bit airy-fairy, but they were different. They were a lot different to me. And, you know, I just wanted it. And I threw myself in. I got myself a sponsor. And I was asked if I was willing to go to any lengths. And I just said yes, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I was given some simple suggestions to do. Bit of praying, reading the big book, writing some things I was grateful for down, phoning other alcoholics, phoning my sponsor every day, and trying to be honest for the first time in my life, which I think that was probably the hardest part, because every time I opened my mouth, I would lie, whether I needed to or not. You know, I was just so dishonest. But anyway, I started doing these simple suggestions and going to meetings. I was doing 4 meetings a week for the first sort of 6 months, and I just started brightening up within days, you know, and that knot of fear that I would wake up with in the morning every day thinking, oh my God, I've got another day to get through. It just went, you know, and I was finding myself able to talk to people, look people in the eye for the first time. My sponsor saw that I meant business. I was turning up early for meetings. I was phoning when I was told to phone. I was doing everything I was asked to. And she started taking me through the steps. I did my step 3 prayer out at Buckfast Abbey. And I turned my life, my will over to my higher power. And it's something I've done every day, morning and evening, you know, coming up to 11 years. And I can accept anything that life throws at me now, because, you know, it isn't all, you know, happy clappy bed of roses. You know, life happens, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that I can deal with anything that happens in life now, because I can accept that what my higher power has got in, you know, lined up for me is the right thing for me. And as long as I carry on doing the right things, I know the right things will happen. And, you know, my life now is, it just, over the last 11 years, it's just got better and better and better. The peace of mind I've got now is, it's just incredible. And I never thought it was possible. I mean, the first 5 years of recovery, I didn't imagine that it could get any better. I was told that I was still a newcomer, you know, for the first 5 years. And I didn't realize that till after the first 5 years, how much better it got. You know, and it does. It gets better and better. And now, my life's on a plane now where I could never imagine being this happy, content, and looking forward to the future. You know, it just seemed impossible. But anyway, yeah, going through the steps, you know, I faced my defects, faced up to my defects in my step 4. And realized that I wasn't this nice person that I thought I was. I was very dishonest, and I was full of self-pity, pride, and selfishness. And, you know, I've still got these defects, but they've been reduced a huge amount by going through the 12 steps and asking my higher power to take these defects away on a daily basis. Taking my inventory, you know, someone harms me, I pray for their health and happiness, even if it's through gritted teeth. And I try and stay in the center of AA, because I've seen people come, and I've seen people stay here for a long time, and I've seen people get complacent and go and drink, and it's not nice. You know, people die from this illness. And when Mike said, you know, we can change lives in here, we save lives, you know, and that is, it's such a huge responsibility, you know, when you think about it. Thanks, John. But you know, if anybody, you know, identifies with anything I say, you know, it's just an incredible thing, you know, and to not want to share, you know, and to not be willing to share, you know, how dare I not give back what I've been freely given? You know, and I love this group. I love coming here on Fridays and I love the Sunday meeting. And, you know, I've got some fantastic friends. And I've just got a serenity and a peace of mind that I never thought existed. So, you know, if there's anybody new or struggling or, you know, please don't miss out. You know, this is an amazing life in AA. Your life can start. You know, my life started when I came into AA. Before that, it was just an existence. Now I'm actually living and enjoying life. And, you know, get yourself a sponsor, copy the big book, and start being honest and put in the action. You know, there's an action program. Put in the actions and do the right things, and the right things will happen. And privileged to share, and thanks very much.
My name's Andy, I'm an alcoholic. And just want to start by saying happy birthday to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous tomorrow, 23 years. And I'd like to thank Wayne, and I'd like to thank Alexis for their conviction, their step one, and that they, you know, they took the 12 steps and they trusted in the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, because without that and their conviction, without Bill and Bob and without Alexis and Wayne, I just wouldn't be here. I know for a fact I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been able to do what they've done, you know, and, you know, so for 23 years, I've seen, you know, when I was new, I mean, I used to sit in early group consciences, and, it was when we used to meet in a small cafe upstairs down on the Barbican. And I can remember being in that group conscience, and the group were talking about, I can't remember what it was, but they had to make amends to somebody for something. And I sat there and I thought, you don't need to make amends to them lot. Don't say sorry for that. What? No, don't bother with it. But thank God that the old timers were here, you know, and they did, you know, and thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, because for an alcoholic like me of my type and the type described in the basic text, I know that I cannot live sober like normal people. I can't do that. I cannot live sober like normal people. And, you know, when I drank, I never seen it as, I would never have said to you, oh, sorry, mate, I've got an obsession with alcohol. I didn't think it was an obsession with alcohol. I would have just, I believed absolutely, you know, well, I have to drink. Me, I actually have to drink because I can't be like you, you know, and I didn't see it as an obsession. And I think, you know, I mean, today when I say my name's Andy, I'm an alcoholic, and I know I'm an alcoholic, but, you know, I arrived here, and I must honestly say, though, that when I got to the end of my very first meeting, I knew that there was something here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew, you know, I thought this, there is something here. I know what he and she are talking about, you know, and that was the first for an alcoholic like me, you know, because I won't bore you with all the doctors and the counselors that I tried, you know, that I tried those doctors, I tried those counselors, and I thought, and I did, I used to think, God, wait till he hears what I've got to tell him about how crap my life is. He's probably going to say, oh, mate, come on, you know, but they never did. And, I nor did my sponsor either, by the way. And I would come out of those places knowing that I was going to drink again. I think, like, Andy's, I knew I was going to drink again. And, to cut a long story short, I phoned Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it was probably about 2-3 in the morning, you know, and, somebody 12 stepped me. And even then, when I heard this guy come around to this little bed set I was living in, there was 2 12-steppers come around. And when they started to talk to me and tell me about their drinking and how they felt, which was, I thought, oh, it's exactly the same, you know, I mean, we're going to get you to a meeting, tonight. And, I was just so beaten. And I hope that, you know, if you're new or if you've been coming for a while, that you are absolutely done. Because then it means that you can, you know, that's what it was like for me, because you can act on the information received, as my sponsor said over and over and over again. And, you know, I just had to, when I got to that meeting, arrived in that meeting, the most important thing of all, and that's what I asked the guy on the way, was what about if these people don't like me? You know, and he said, oh, you'll be fine, you'll be all right, you know, because that's what I was like, you know. And again, I think like, I think Andy said that, you know, I was thinking, or was it Mike? Yeah. Oh, he's looking. Well, was he looking? It was Mike. He's looking at me. What's he looking at? Oh, I'm going to keep away from him. Troublemaker. Keep away from him. You know, he's giving me filthy looks. Nah. And but that's what my head was like. Do you know what I mean? It was just, I was the chief critic, you know, and none of you were safe. Do you know what I mean? I did. I used to look out my bedsit window, you know, hammered to look out the bedsit window, going, look at the state of her. She needs to sort her life out, you know. That's what I was like. It was terrible. And everybody got it, you know. And but I just felt so bad. But when I, at the end of that first meeting, throughout the meeting, and I just knew that there was something here, you know. And when I went back that night to talk to my family, I said, I'm an alcoholic. That is what is wrong. I'm an alcoholic. That is what's wrong. And when I started to read the basic text, you know, I got a sponsor. My ears just pricked up when I heard my sponsor say that he drank Cinzano. I thought, hey, hang on, I know that. Because I did. I used to buy the whacking great big bottles of Cinzano in a trolley with two bags of crisps. Nobody would notice that that was in the trolley. And I thought, yeah, I did that, you know. And I was always, I was always going to save some Cinzano for Christmas, and I never did. And I always, always, it was unfinished business if I took that first drink, and that's what I got here, you know. It set up that phenomenon of craving, and it didn't matter where I had to go. I'd always be the one that would say to people, come on, let's go on to so-and-so, come on, it's only 5:30 in the morning, come on, let's just, you know. And and I always used to think, oh, God, the police are quite a nice bunch, you know, they always give me a lift home. But it's because I'd be on all fours. Cool, you know, that's why I'd get a lift home. And, but I love it now. Like Alison said, I mean, I love my home group. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not a little extra thing that I kind of just have to do. It isn't like that, you know, it's just, it is, it's part of me, you know, and, it's what I do. It's what we do. And I found something that works for me, you know. I just could not find anything, you know. But my sponsor got me taking actions, you know. And, you know, I mean, if you're new and you don't want to be one of those people that, because I often, you know, over the years get messages from people 3, 4 in the morning or an answer machine message. I've done it again. I can't believe I've done it again. If you don't want to be one of those people that sends those messages, you know, get a sponsor and take the actions, you know. And even when you're, you think, well, God, what's he saying that to me like that for? Why is he asking me to do that, you know? Just shut up and just do it anyway. You know, that's what I've had to do. I've had to do it. And I'm just, the results I've got as a result of doing that are why I'm here now and why I'm able to go to work, why I'm able to react differently. You know, and I don't always react fantastic, but without this, I mean, I just, it's just plain sailing, you know. And, I mean, one of the hardest things was losing my mum at the beginning of this year, you know. That really, it's just one of the hardest things. But I think now, I always think, you know, my mum always used to say to me, you know, got meeting tonight. She just remembers, she'd say, got meeting tonight? I'd say, yeah, I've got meeting. And she'd never like, because, I mean, she's seen her son, my brother, you know, just lose his fight to this, do you know what I mean? Just didn't make it as a result of not, and it wasn't because of anything that my home group in AA and the sponsorship that he had didn't do. It wasn't as a result of that. It's because he did not take the actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, people die, you know. But I'm just so grateful that, you know, that today, I'm not one of those. And if you're new, you don't have to be either, you know. Don't, there is no time to waste, you know. You can't, you can't go home, and as I always say to Mark, actually, you can't go home and reflect for a little while. So I think I'll just have a little think about that. I know I'm going to die, but I want to have a think about it. You know, but that's just nonsense, you know. You can get this now. You can have it tonight. You know, you can recover. All of those things that you want to do, you know. And I always, you know, I was always a blamer. I'll end on this. I was always a blamer. And when I arrived in AA, I was still a blamer. I used to think, yeah, but he's recovered because he's got that car. Or he's recovered because he's got that. I was always a blamer, do you know what I mean? And it's just not that. I mean, I went through this program. I started to look at myself, you know, and I always have to take a whole lot of inventory. Just one of those the other day, actually, I had to take quite a bit of inventory, you know, and I still do that. I have to take that inventory and get honest, you know, and I'm here to be sober, to be happy, to be a bit crazy sometimes, you know, and I was just sat there thinking of all the fun times, you know, those fun days that we have and some of the amazing outfits that Mike has turned up in, do you know what I mean? And myself as well. So, you know, and that and lots more, you know, if you don't want to miss out, get a sponsor, a big book, you know, and it's all in there. You don't need to learn by your mistakes. And it's great to be here. Thank you.
I'm David, I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for asking me to share, Wayne. And welcome to anyone that's new here tonight or visiting the Road to Recovery group. Happy birthday, 23 years sober. Amazing. I mean, that ain't happened by mistake. That's happened through, obviously, hard work and people persistently coming back every week and you know, working out recovery, because that's what we've got to do, do you know what I mean? And, you know, I've never set out to be an alcoholic. You know, I never went to my careers office and said, I want to be an alcoholic. You know, I actually thought I was going to be famous when I was a youngster. I used to even practice my signature because I had the right dodgy signature. And I remember going to Anfield and meeting all my heroes at that time. And I thought, I need to get a decent signature. If I'm going to be famous, I need to know people that know my name, if you know what I mean. So I used to write my name everywhere, all over my mum's house, all through the school. And someone would say, you've been writing on that wall again. It was, no, it wasn't me. Do you know what I mean? And what's your name doing on that wall then? But I never owned to anything, do you know what I mean? And like my old man said to me, he said, you're not the full shilling, you know what I mean? You're not. I was looking back, I was never really wired up properly. I was kind of born anxious and irritable and restless and, you know, I was always second-guessing people, do you know what I mean, and worried about what people thought about me and what I sounded like, and heard Wayne share before, you know, I used to walk past this estate in Brixton where I grew up, and there was like loads of guys over there, they always went to beat me up, so I just walked past them like I was the baddest person in that neighbourhood, do you know what I mean, and my legs would start to wobble, and I thought, no, I can't act like anything like that, do you know what I mean, I was... As a kid, I was quite fearless, even though I was quite scared. You know, I'm not very big, do you know what I mean? But if someone wanted to have a go at me, I remember being at school and someone say, I'll see you after school. And I'm thinking, you're not seeing me after school. I'm not waiting all day thinking about you're going to beat me up. So I'd pick a chair up and just lob it at him and, you know, think that was game over, because it would just go through my whole school. You're going to have a fight after school. And I just hated that sort of worrying about things, you know what I mean? And but alcohol just seemed to make me feel at ease, you know what I mean? It made me feel like people didn't bother me so much, you know what I mean? And, you know, I thought one day I'll just give it up and life would take off and someone knock at my door and say, there's your life, you know what I mean? I didn't realise how I never grew up in life, do you know what I mean? I never grew through any sort of problems. Like Clancy shares about people, like they mature in life and then they're able to be good adults, you know what I mean? Able to deal with relationship breakups. And me, I'll take... you know, rejection really badly, do you know what I mean? It would just destroy me, you know what I mean? And I would, you know, it would just cripple me, do you know what I mean? I remember crying over one, my girlfriend had just dumped me, and my mum said, there's plenty more fish in the sea. I'm like, there's not, not in the River Thames anyway, but, you know, I'd never had this sort of, you know, I couldn't get over things, you know what I mean? Things used to bother me, and like people say, don't lose sleep about it, and I'd be like up at night thinking about I'm going to kill someone, how am I going to destroy them, you know, and praying for my mates to break up with his girlfriend, because he had a much prettier girlfriend, and, you know, I was always just, you know, I was never right on the edge, you know what I mean? And, you know, work-wise, I'd go to work, and I'd say to my mum, they're picking on me again at work, but I was not turning up. I was stealing off them. I was, you know, acting badly, and then I'll go to another job and it'd be the same people again. They weren't, they're picking on me again. Do you know what I mean? I was just a victim to life. You know what I mean? I didn't realize. And I came here, 23 years ago. I just came out of a treatment center. I went into this halfway house. The only reason I went there because they said you can control drinking. You can have two drinks a day. And I spent 9 months in this treatment centre thinking that I was going to be all right. And then I went to this place in Battersea. And I remember this counsellor saying to me, he said, you need to go and get a college course. You need to really, you know, trying to give me inspiration. He said, before you missed the boat. And I missed the boat years ago. Do you know what I mean? Nothing was going to change my life. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I came to this group, you know, I'd spent other, you know, a couple of years in other meetings around Plymouth, the Plymouth area. But I had, you know, people can't transmit something they haven't got. Do you know what I mean? If you ain't got the solution, you can't give it to someone else. You know what I mean? And I eventually came to this meeting. I had a lot of bad press about this meeting. It was up on the Abbey Hall where we're having our, anniversary meal tomorrow night. It was a freezing night. It was winter. It was freezing. I turned up at that meeting, met a group of guys that normally wouldn't mix together from all different walks of life. People like Alexis, Wayne, John, Mario, God bless his soul, a few other guys, you know what I mean? Andy was there first. and I remember just being at that meeting and people that normally wouldn't mix, but I identified with these guys more than I did anyone else in my life. Do you know what I mean? It's not about the drinking. It's about the alcoholism. Do you know what I mean? It's about how I react to life. You know what I mean? What gets me drunk time and time again, that sort of, that separation from people. Do you know what I mean? And that awkwardness. And they shared about this stuff. And then they shared about there is a solution. So if you're new here tonight, there is an amazing life on offer. Do you know what I mean? I've lived this, I'll be 23 years sober this year. If I carry on doing what I'm doing, you know, I've never gone back to the way I was. You know what I mean? And I remember doing step five of Wayne on the Moors, about 21 years ago. And I remember that day, and he said, you know, your life will change from now on, and it has. You know what I mean? It's changed for the better. And, you know, I've had times, like Andy was sharing about, you know what I mean? There's times where I've not wanted to come to meetings. I've been standing over there, looking in the middle, thinking everyone's doing better than me. I've just carried on doing what I was supposed to be doing. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, through, you know, good times and bad times, you know what I mean? There's times I've been ill. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, Mike's saying he's a spastic. I've always felt a bit like a spastic. Do you know what I mean? I've always, like, not been able to speak properly, do you know what I mean? It's just the way I am, do you know what I mean? And, you know, and there's times I've been ill, you know what I mean? And this is the best health restorant you can get. These principles solve all my problems. Oh, I've had to take other medication and other things and go and see doctors. But coming here and keeping spiritually fit, like Andy shared about, it's just got me better, do you know what I mean? And, you know, there's a great life on offer, you know? This is the most equal opportunities place in the world. We don't care where you come from, what you've done. You know, just do the steps and your life will change. You know what I mean? If you don't, then we can't promise you anything else. You know what I mean? And these steps have changed my life forever. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I know the best years of my life lie ahead. You know what I mean? And, you know, like I've shared about before, you know, we just do it through sickness and health, for richer and poorer, you know, good times and bad times. You know what I mean? I mean, I got married a few years ago. I didn't know what I was saying at that time. But I guess I've married Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I mean? You know, this has been my wife for a long time, do you know what I mean? Sometimes I've got a bit paranoid that she's cheating on me, but other times, but I've just carried on doing this stuff, do you know what I mean? And that's the great news, you know what I mean? And I love what they shared about the structure and the discipline. I can't live my life through emotion, you know what I mean? Like Wayne shares again, you know what I mean? There's so much wisdom in this meeting. I've got to live my life through structure because, you know, my feelings will change, come and go, but if I live my life through structure, I'm guaranteed to that I'm going to be all right. Do you know what I mean? And that's the great news. And anyone can get this. You know what I mean? You know, we don't care where you come from, like I say. But, you know, when I sponsor people, I always say to them, you know, it's not just about taking steps. It's about changing your life, trying to become a better person. Get, you know, because life's so short. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Things go, these years go so quickly. You know, once you start doing these steps, it's like, bang, them 23 years have just gone in a flash. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, you can't, this ain't a dress rehearsal for life. You know what I mean? This is the real thing. You know, don't waste your life. You know what I mean? Do it, you know, do it the best as you can. You know what I mean? Even if you do get it wrong, you know, and, you know, I've just got the light there. So, you know, just, you know, get yourself a sponsor, go through the steps, get yourself a home group. You know what I mean? This has probably been the most important thing in my life for a long, long time. I don't think my recovery would have been the same without this meeting. That's the God's honest truth, and it's the people that I see here week in, week out. I can come here any sort of condition. I sit down and I just feel comfortable. Do you know what I mean? There's something about this meeting, and I'll leave it there. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.